grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, nigga. Marijuana.
That's right, you're in the right place if you care about the sweet leaf and how it should be legalized in this dang country.
Right on.
I cured myself last night there.
Our job's done.
What's on the tips of the tongues around town these days, or this week?
Well, me personally, I went over to Aussie for the weekend.
Welcome
for
back.
Thank you.
These are interesting. It's interesting that you go to these, because we basically will look to Australia, won't we, and see how they go.
Exactly.
No, we do though, John. We do for most laws, John.
Yeah, you might not like it, but
no,
we do. And that's
really?
Why it's really important to have a good relationship and a good knowledge of what's going on. That's why I go out of my way to go to these trade
fairs. They're like slightly ahead of us, right?
Absolutely. Mm. Now, the thing is, though, is that every state has allowed
John's bummed out, but it's
manufacture and cultivation.
I think they're slightly behind us in some other regards, though.
Oh, absolutely. But we're here to talk about marijuana and marijuana media, not the other regards. So, you know. So they have a very industry-focused kind of approach. It's led to some very big companies being formed that are on the stock exchange. They're worth a lot of money. They've got hookups with people in South America and Canada and Europe. And I think a lot of it is export-focused. But at this stage, there's actually an export ban. So that they can produce cannabis products in Australia. They don't yet have approval for any of those cannabis products to be given to patients, and they can't yet export their cannabis products. So the export ban is expected to be lifted soon, especially once Canada becomes legal next year. We're in a few months, in fact, and they are going to have a big shortage of cannabis, and the hype around these companies in Australia is that they will have a very big market in Canada. But that does assume that this law is going to change. But in the meantime, the rules that are in place there are actually stricter than ours.
Right.
So even though they have like five times the population, they have like 200 approved people that have ever had approvals for Sativex and everything.
Okay.
We have about 180. So they're both very, very small numbers. But on a population basis, we actually have a slightly easier pathway. Now, one of the things that we are definitely easier on is CBD, cannabidiol, which is the non-psychoactive part of hemp and cannabis. And it's the part that is not a drug of abuse. You don't even feel it when you have it.
Mm.
But a lot of conditions people have are actually related to a deficiency in their body's own natural cannabinoids, which we call endocannabinoids, and that's where CBD can really help with people.
Right.
Now, we had that change in September 7th, and the government said New Zealand's now legalized medical cannabis. This was the previous government.
Quite a headline.
Yeah. Well, here we are 3 months later, not a single approval or prescription for CBD. So that is all about to change. So a Canadian company called Tilray, they have established a presence here in New Zealand. They are sort of at the top tier. They're the ones that, well, we've had about 7 approvals for patients so far in New Zealand under the Peter Dunn kind of era.
Okay.
This is if you don't count that really expensive Sativex. This is the other kind of non-approved products. There's been a total of 7. And I think they've all been Tilray products, possibly, if not all of them, almost all of them. So they're a very good company. They're held in high regard by the regulators. They've now established its presence. The products are here in New Zealand, CBD products and high THC products. The CBD products, your doctor can just prescribe. Any GP can prescribe CBD products. The problem is, that's why we have none in this 3 months up till now. They haven't known what to do. And there hasn't been any products for them to prescribe, and they don't want to import things, and that doctors don't want to do that, right?
And this thing that you went to, this was a symposium, or are you calling it expo? What are you calling it?
Well, it was a bit of everything.
What's it called? What was it called?
It's an expo. It's a trade fair. They have speeches and talks and speakers
and
workshops.
Trade fair.
Yeah, it's the HHI, Hemp Health and Innovation.
Okay.
And they've done a couple in Sydney, and this was their first one in Melbourne. But it ranges, the way they do it is try and have the whole gamut. So you have like kind of these big Australian medical companies all the way through to the Nimbin hippie crowd and kind of everything in between. And the Nimbin guys
here?
Are great, by the way.
Yeah.
Fantastic people. And I actually entered the joint rolling contest. They called it, they had different rounds, and this was joint rolling in the dark.
What?
Which meant you were blindfolded.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can do that. And then once they had the blindfold on, they're like, 3 papers and a filter. And it's like, oh, that's actually pretty hard to do blindfolded, you know? But seriously, I think some people had practiced, because the guy went on to win, he did it in like 31 seconds.
Whoa.
Where did you finish up? Knocked out.
I got the papers together just, but yeah. I was pretty disappointed with myself. But you know, people kind of gave me a
a golf clap,
a slow clap.
Oh, look at the New Zealander guy.
Yeah. Oh, quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
And now I'm just curious. Going back to the Canadian company, which has set up shop in New Zealand. Does that mean they've got an office here and one staff member?
No. They're using a they're based out of Australia and they have a facility there, and they're using a pharmaceutical wholesale company here in New Zealand. So that gets the product into New Zealand, but it still doesn't kind of cover all the reporting and stuff. It's still a little bit tricky, but it's not anything that doctors and pharmacists aren't used to. Whereas the previous way, it was asking them to do a whole lot of stuff they don't normally do.
Now, you were saying that you had. But was this an on-air conversation? You just had a meeting with a local GP who had possibly been trying to prescribe some CBD?
Yeah. So he's written a couple today, in fact, knowing that, Tilray have got their presence in. So anyone out there who wants to be the first person to get CBD legally, well, you know, you're a bit late. But still give it a go. Try it tomorrow.
First amongst your friends.
Yeah. So, that's got to come up from Christchurch, I think they're based in. So it'll be, a day or two for the patients to get it. But certainly, hopefully by the weekend,
what was he saying about the process of doing it?
It's easy enough for the doctors. It's the problem has always been with our regulators, to be honest, dragging the chain on it, being really conservative, just taking a long time to do anything. So, for example, part of this delay in the regulations changing in September and then, actually becoming possible today, 3 months later, is that the regulators were being really slow in issuing import permits. To allow it into the country. It wasn't just something that they went, here it is. It was something that they sat on for ages. So that needs a bit of a shake-up. They can't be saying in public that, blaming it on doctors for not doing the right thing or blaming it on manufacturers for not having the right products when these products are available all around the world and our doctors, are competent in other areas, but it's, there's a lack of knowledge and a lack of support and they're just kind of in the way, and we need them to get out of the way and open this all up. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's now getting to sort of local stories. I pulled this up before and you were like, well, everybody wants to do this. Essentially, a Rutoria company pushing to be the first licensed grower of medical cannabis. Obviously, they grow hemp out there and they're sort of set up to go. Is there a lot of people sort of putting their hands up to the government going, we can do it.
I get called every day by people who are seeing dollar signs and thinking they're going to be the next kind of, multimillionaire in that. I don't think that's necessarily the motivation of the people down there. I think that a key thing for there is providing jobs and for the iwi and regional development for that part of the world.
That's pretty natural. Well,
this is possibly where I think there's the flaw in the plan. You can't use hemp to make a medicine. And I think that's the type of thinking you might have had under the previous government that was saying no to everything and, maybe we can do it under the hemp rules. I think with this new government and the changes that we're going to have to happen.
What I'm getting at is aren't you, because I guess it's at least it's in the same ballpark of what you're growing, so they can grow THC marijuana, right, rather than hemp.
Maybe.
Close, rather than getting someone that grows...
No, but hemp doesn't have any THC.
Forget about that, though. They've been growing hemp, right, successfully?
They've done one season, yeah.
So aren't they a little bit closer to growing marijuana than, say, Joe Nobody, who hasn't grown any hemp?
Well,
because they kind of... Is it not close at all?
No, but you think of growers who are out there who have been growing 20 years. They've got 20 years growing.
That's true, yeah.
So this is what I mean. I mean, spending a season growing hemp doesn't necessarily get you any closer. And
you put hemp in the same family as, like, growing corn. It's just a thing that grows.
No, it's the same family as cannabis, but it's not necessarily applicable. Like, for example, if there's no THC in it and you do all these field trials, it actually have no relevance to medicine, for example.
You're saying that they may not know how to get the best flowers from the plant.
I'm saying that the rules that govern hemp can't be used to make medicine, so what you're able to do with those hemp licenses limits what you can do, and therefore you might be wasting your time. You may or may not, right? But you can't extract CBD from it. You can't start playing around with the cannabinoids. So, yeah, you can practice growing, but a lot of people have practiced growing. And one of the lessons that we've found from Australia is that it's very easy for people to catch up, and people thinking that they're going to be the first person by getting in now before the law has changed, they can easily be overtaken by someone leaping in after the law has changed. And all it takes is to send someone over to one of the courses in America, learn up how to do these things in a few weeks, and come back with all that knowledge.
I guess what I'm saying is, as an outsider looking in, these people would be my preferred choice because they're growing something that's closer to the family than anyone else that's legally selling a product. They're growing hemp and they're selling hemp is what I've not, well, I don't know, I'm assuming this, they've sold it if it's like a business that they're doing. And so I would, they would be the front of the queue for me because they know how to do it in a professional manner that, that gets like a trade scenario going rather than like old whoever has like a crop out in the middle of nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they should be the only ones, but I'm saying they would be probably first in queue if it was me, like picking people to grow weed.
But is it you?
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. We do want local production, and we want to encourage that and get all these kind of rules and artificial barriers out of the way. Mm-hmm. Domestic production, I think, is really important to lowering costs for patients and to increasing the amount of products available. And we also want to have imported products, and we also want to have that kind of pharmaceutical pathway so that they can develop, you know, that kind of pharmaceutical-grade product. But you also need some way that, like what we're talking about down in the East Cape, where you're basically growing it outdoors and you're doing it on a kind of herbal remedy level.
Right.
And if you think about how they treat poppies, I mean, you can grow a poppy as a flower and your purpose is ornamental. You can put it in a bagel and just buy it from a store, and that's as a food purpose. But if you want to do like a medicine or a drug purpose, it's controlled. Mm. So, you know, this is the kind of model that the government here should really be thinking about, that you have a kind of tandem or dual pathway, one that involves the pharmaceutical grade that some people really want, and another involves a herbal remedy grade that other people really want.
Right on.
It's slowly making sense to me.
That's good. Perfect. Well, then, I guess we're doing well, right?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much, Chris, for coming. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.